ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Pastor Mustard.
Shabba bab doo dang bing bong. Hi diddly ding dang dong.
That's a pro right there. Hey. That's a pro. Oh, that's so cool.
I was just keying off of this guy's energy, which is it's exploding.
There's a lot of energy in this room in general. Anytime I need like a quick pick-me-up, I'm just like, okay, I need to get near Gavin. Just get my quick hit of energy.
Yeah. Natural Gavination. I don't drink caffeine.
Yes. Which is insane to me.
Right.
But it'd be even more insane if I did.
That's fair.
How about you? Are you a coffee drinker, Pastor Mustard?
I wasn't, and then I was, and then I wasn't, then I was, and now I am.
Okay. Oh, I fully embraced my
caffeine.
Does
that make any sense? I don't want to make sense, but if I am, I want to know.
That's great. I know people ask me about my coffee. I'm like, I don't even see color fully until I have my first cup of coffee. So that's great. Well, for listeners who are tuning in thinking, oh my gosh, what is going on? So many people. Quick intro. After 14 years as one of the most popular music programs on Aspen Public Radio, Bluegrass with Mustard moves to KDNK starting this Saturday, tomorrow morning. Woohoo! From 8 to 10 a.m. So, as I said, we are very, very proud that Dan Sadowski, also known as Pastor Mustard,
a.k.a.
a.k.a. Can you tell this relative newbie about the background? Where did Pastor Mustard came from?
Where did he come from? Okay, well, I don't mind telling you that I'm not a real pastor. I love it when I walk up to people who think I am, and or if they're a pastor and they say I'm also a pastor brother, and say something, and I don't know, you know, I guess I feel a little funny at that point, but it's true. I'm an imitation. Not real pastor, okay? I like to think that I could be. Right, I could be if I just went to the Universal Church. What's that online church? Anyway, what do they call that? I got to get one of those. Okay,
just
I promise I will. But backing up a little
careful,
bit.
Careful, it's on the record now.
Many years ago, I was in Telluride. And, well, young lady, when I was about your age... And I was walking down the street, literally walking to my first show on KOTO, which at that time was 10 mighty watts. It reached all across the town of Telluride, which, as you know, is in it's in this box canyon.
Oh, yeah.
And not much further. So we were, one thing that we were... pretty sure about is that the feds were not listening in. You know, we didn't have streaming back then. Internet, what was that? And we got a little bit of a loose wig going on. It was wild hair, a loose wig. So I was going to the show, and it was a beautiful day. It was Saturday. I thought, I'm going to the radio show. I can't be me. What fun is that? There was a guy on, and anybody from Telluride knows about, I think his name's Brother Al. Yes, Brother Al. Brother Al was a true, we don't have this on your radio station. On KDNK, we do not have a Bible-thumping, Christian, hell and brimstone kind of preacher, radio preacher, the real thing. So I thought, well, we got Brother Al coming up in about 4 or 5 hours. I think I'll be Pastor Mustard. I'll be Pastor something, and I'm Pastor Mustard. So I walked in there, and from that moment on, Pastor Mustard was a thing.
I'm so glad we had a chance to catch up on that story.
Right. Oh, that's fantastic.
Ketchup.
Hey.
You're just like, no.
That pun doesn't pass mustard. Sorry.
Okay. Back to the interview, Megan. I'm sorry. I derailed everything.
No more.
Not at all.
No more condiment humor, please.
We're done.
Did you just get people calling in with just like what they thought were the greatest condiment puns ever?
No, we'd had call-ins. We had very good call-ins. A couple of... tapes started to circulate because, well, it kind of ranged into the R-rated category. Not entirely, but it was winking and nodding in that
just
direction.
Just flirted a little. Yeah.
And oh, Lord have mercy, we had fun with that. So that was KOTO back in the old, old days.
Classic.
And it was wonderful.
So I have to know, were the feds ever listening? Did you ever get busted for flirting with R-rated?
I never was sitting at a bar enjoying an adult beverage when I felt a tap on my shoulder and I was spun around by some guys in dark glasses saying, "We know."
Yeah, there used to be actual field marshals, basically FCC marshals, who would travel the circuit. But I think that's probably been a budget cut for long enough now that we don't have to worry really? Too much. Still, it is good to try to stay out of the $10,000 fine department.
You're gonna have to give me a bullet point list.
But remember, I'm the GM, so I'm always gonna be the square on these issues. Then again, I think it's really important that we use what they call safe harbor from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. to play. Indecent material, so-called explicit lyrics, because we have to defend freedom of expression. If we don't in public radio, who will?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, the last bastion of freedom of expression. And that's why public radio is the greatest. That is it right there. And don't fight with me. You fight with my public radio, you're fighting with me, and I will mess you up.
I would never fight with you, just based off of the general vibes so far. Mm. Like, I won't even get into ladies arm wrestling.
How about some Brazilian jiu-jitsu?
Ooh. Are you trained up in Brazilian jiu-jitsu?
No, but I like the concept, and I like it so much that I'll pretend that's your next.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tomorrow morning. Never mind, guys. It's not Pastor Mustard anymore.
Oh, it's an all capoeira show. Just nothing but Brazilian fighting dance music.
Thank you. I can remember capoeira. That's great. So you've got this whole background in bluegrass. And so for those who do pray at the altar of bluegrass, then your proper title, how did you fall in love?
With the bluegrass music?
With the bluegrass
music. Oh, that happened a long time ago before I ever came out west. Well. And you know, it's funny. I've heard other people talk about their introduction to blues, for instance. Mm-hmm. And the first time they heard blues, they got like physically ill. They couldn't stand it, you know. And then the second time it was like, wait a minute, something's happening. And then after that, it was all over. And I kind of felt the same way about bluegrass. I came up in Rochester, New York, and I was a fan of folky music. You know, the folk scare was going on about the time that I... that's what we called it, darling.
The folk scare.
You know why? Because that stuff almost caught on.
Almost.
Scary. We had some great musicians in Rochester, New York. One of them was a guy who came from that town and was Bob Dylan's roommate at the University of Minnesota.
What?
Yes, ma'am. And his name was John Kerner, Spider John Kerner. And I knew Spider not at all, but I knew his brother. I played music with his brother, Pete, sometimes.
Of course.
So anyway, blues and stuff like that. But then I got a Bill Monroe record, and we had records back then. It was LPs, and I put it on, and I went, "Are you kidding me? Something's happening. Oh, my God, something's happening to my insides." And I loved it. I loved Bill Mon, and I pursued it, and I went to bluegrass festivals. Also, I was lucky enough. You want to hear how lucky I was?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay.
Edge of my stool.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Rochester is up here, and Syracuse is down here a little ways, and we used to hitchhike back then. And I don't know why I was in Syracuse. There were a bunch of great musicians there, including Tony Trischka and Pete Wernick and a couple other guys you may not know, but those guys are well-known banjo players. You may not have heard of those two before, but the banjo players, they know what I'm talking about. And they were there. We became friends and, talked to each other, influenced each other in various ways. They tolerated me, which was a nice thing for them to do. Anyhow, I came up with it. I was young. I came up with it. It was my teens, and Then I landed at the Telluride Bluegrass Festival, and there you go.
That's exactly what I was going to ask. I was just going to say, so which came first, to Telluride, Pastor Mustard or the Bluegrass Bluegrass Festival?
Oh, geez. Well, I was playing swing music. I got a wild hair that the music that I love. My mother was a big swing music fan, right? Okay. She had these great records. I mean, not just Glenn Miller plays all the popular hits, but really, it was pretty deep what she had. And it rubbed off on me. What can I say? So I came to, I was in Boulder. I had nothing except my guitar. And I was learning these jazz chords and swing tunes, and I met a couple of people who like that kind of music, because there's some really funny novelty songs in swing music. And we started a band. It became a thing. Tim O'Brien was in the band, a guy that a lot of people know these days. And we started a band. We were on stage. We were playing nightclubs and having beverages. And a guy saw us. His name was Fred Shellman. Now, he was the guy who invented the Telluride Bluegrass Festival and pretty much invented the Western Colorado bluegrass experience, which is a big deal now.
Oh, yeah. Now Planet Bluegrass is big enough to have a planet.
Right. Try and get tickets.
Planet Bluegrass. Yeah. They sell out. I think last year they didn't sell out for the first time in 10 or 12 years, which is a weird thing.
I want to ask you a question, Pastor Mustard.
Go ahead.
Speaking of shows that sell out, that everybody's trying to get into, tell us about your house concerts. How long have you been a booker, promoter, organizer on that side of things, in addition to your own musicianship and time DJing and, you know, kind of spreading the bluegrass gospel? Part of that has been these house shows.
The El Rancho Mustard is situated somewhere mid-valley. It's kind of a mystery where it is. And unless you go to my website, and then it's everybody knows, even the feds. And people, really good musicians, would come by and stay at my house. They, I don't know, save a couple bucks, hang out with a really cool guy. Who knows why they stayed there? It was fun to have, you know, Bela and Sam Bush and really good musicians. Timmy O'Brien. Lots of people stayed there. And at one point I said, God, you're going to be here for three whatever days. You want to try doing a house concert? So we did the first one, and nobody came.
Oh, no.
I was literally the only one in the audience. So embarrassing. I set up the PA and everything. And next time.
You got a private concert.
Huh?
You got a private concert out of it.
It was kind of nice.
Right.
Talking about VIP.
That was good. And but it grew. You know, I put up a website. I got a mailing list and started to talk to people. So I have one coming up, but it's sold out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to say, the cat was released from the bag. I believe right here in this very studio, somebody talked about it on the radio. Next thing I know, I'm sold out.
could have been Merlin Chameleon. Those guys are shifty.
Right. But if you ever needed proof that people are listening to the radio, right?
Yeah, that's so wonderful. So all kinds of people are coming up, and we're doing it at the Missouri Heights Schoolhouse, which is a 102-year-old structure that, you know, you walk into an old wooden structure out here, out in the West, and it's seen some winters, it's seen some time, and it's like an old guitar. Old guitar has got a special quality that you can't get if it's brand spanking new.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that, and inside there it's got a feeling, and it's got the acoustic music works perfectly in there. So what Tim is going to be doing is a show unlike others that he does. He's doing it completely without a PA.
Oh, wow.
Well, almost.
So intimate.
Exactly. So I was just thinking, what a rad venue.
All around one mic, just like back when I may have been 13 years old, and I saw Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs and the Foggy Mountain Boys in Rochester, New York.
Right, or just like when Megan was 13 and she saw Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yes, exactly.
Right. You saw the movie?
Yeah, at when she was 13, right?
Clearly. Uh-huh.
So singing around one mic, yeah.
Yeah, that they do. They did. And Flatt and Scruggs sang around one mic, and that's what's going to happen at the schoolhouse. Just one mic, y'all.
Well, we're out of time, Pastor Mustard, but the good news for listeners is all they have to do is keep their dial tuned to KD&K, because this gentleman will be back on the airwaves tomorrow morning, bright and early, 8 o'clock, and Bluegrass with Mustard now every Saturday at 8. For you Bluegrass fans, you know Merlin Chameleon have been holding down Wednesday mornings at 8 for a long, long time,
yeah.
And it's really going to be truly a doubling of doubling down on our commitment to Bluegrass. So really, really excited that we had a chance to get you in today.
Thank you
for becoming a KD&K member, and we are so excited to have the show start tomorrow.
All right. Good, geez, tone it down, man.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, it'll be fine. You know, it'll be all right. I'm not that excited about it.
I'm the coffee drinker in the room. Like, that's awesome. Well, Pastor Mustard, thank you so, so much.
Thank you for letting me on, and howdy do.
And on that note, you've been listening to Express Yourself. I'm host Megan Tackett, joined in station manager Gavin Dahl and Pastor Mustard. Tune into his primo show, 8 to 10 in the morning tomorrow. Wishing everyone a bright and expressive weekend. Don't forget, the world positively craves your expression.